This episode is sponsored by Malibu. Hey Huns, here on the Fundamental Guide to Life, we're letting the fun shine this winter with Malibu. For this week's episode, I'm sipping on a delicious passion fruit daiquiri, just one of the gorgy cocky teas that can be made with Malibu. Why not join me in a drink as you listen to this week's episode by checking out the super easy recipes on Malibu's Instagram page at Malibu Rum UK. Come on Huns, let the fun shine this winter with Malibu. Over 18s only. Welcome, darlings, to another episode of The Fundamental Guide to Life. And my guest today is incredibly famous for doing her thing and, of course, being an iconic hun. It's Tina Barrett of S Club 7. Is Tina doing her thing today, Tina?
Thank you so much for the introduction. Well, actually, I'm going to say something that might be quite controversial. I'm actually doing my dance in S Club Party. Rachel's doing her thing.
Oh, yes!
But everyone thinks I'm doing my thing. You're not the only one. I get it all the time. Tina's doing her thing. Yeah.
This is like an urban legend that's gone through.
I know.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, Tina can do her dance and her thing. Woo. Tina can do what the hell she wants. So thank you so much for coming and joining us on the Fundamental Guide to Life. Now, first of all, we asked this to everybody because, you know, we just got to get this out of the way. Would you consider yourself a hun, Tina?
Absolutely. I check your Instagram all the time, always giggling. I love it. Yeah. I want to be a hun. Can I be a hun?
You are a hun, and you're often a star of some of the most iconic memes. We've got to talk about later on the Tina dress, because this is something which I literally could meme till like the cows come home. Now, you know what dress I'm talking about.
Yes.
That dress.
That dress, yeah. To be honest, it was like one of those moments that sort of happened so fast, because I was thinking, what should I wear? And I wanted to go big, you know. I thought...
You went big.
But I wasn't planning on going as big as I sort of ended up. But a friend of mine knew Scott Henshaw.
He follows Hunsnet. He literally likes everything. So yeah. This is, you're on the same wavelength here. I love
Absolutely,
it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he, you know, he's proper glam. He loves sort of like a red carpet dress, and his dresses aren't for the like wallflower, should I say. They're literally like, you know, everything, you know, it's kind of showing, and it's all very, very, very glamorous and all the rest of it. So I just sort of said to him, looking for a dress. He's like, yeah, I've got a few things in mind. And so we met up, I tried on a few things, and he said, what about this? And I was like, oh my goodness. And I tried it on.
Risky.
Yeah. And when I tried it on, I kind of like went, well, actually, this would be pretty cool if I did it. And if I had the, you know, if I sort of just went for it. And yeah, so I did it. And yeah, I can't believe people are still talking about it. It's crazy.
I think I did a meme back in the day, on one of the first times I used it. And it's like, if you're going to be anything, be Tina, because it's like, go hard or go home.
I went hard. Yeah.
Just remind everybody, was it the Seeing Double premiere?
It was, yeah. Seeing Double, yeah. I were S Club movie. So it was like a big deal. To be honest, I thought the others were going to go dressy, but they weren't at all. They were literally covered from head to toe. So it looked even more crazy when my dress in comparison. But I own it, you know. I'm glad I wore it. It was definitely a cool evening.
It's solidified itself into like pop culture history, because the thing I love about Hun culture and Hunsnet, you know, and all of the meme pages, yeah, is all of these things that happened back in the day and then were like forgotten about for a period of like 10, 15 years, and now so important like all these years down the line. Why do you think that is?
It is crazy. Like I feel like all the bands of my era, the S Club era, have all sort of all of a sudden got this second, I guess, second wind. They're all back. They're all kind of, you know, either getting back together or they're sort of just doing things. And I think that period of time, the music was so uplifting and so positive. I think people are missing that because it's all changed so much, and you don't have those fun bands where the music is so a little bit tongue-in-cheek and lots of fun.
Yeah.
I think it's all gone a bit cool, and you know, it's gone the other way. So I think people miss it, really.
Back in the day, sometimes you probably wouldn't admit that you liked this sort of music, but you secretly liked it. And now all of these years down the line, you know, people have had children, people have got their careers, and it's gone back to a place of going, hell yeah, do you know what? I love this. And it's so, as you mentioned, euphoric and feel good. And, you know, everybody's a bit more self-assured in themselves that they, you know, that they can enjoy it and look at it under a different lens. I think it's absolutely brilliant, you know, and especially after the last couple of years that we've had with the Panny D, I think, you know, revisiting all of these times, which you're very much part of, I think has brought a lot of joy to people. Aww. So on behalf of all the Huns teen, can I call you teen?
Yeah, no, please do.
On behalf of all of the Huns, I'd just like to say thank you. So no, that's brilliant.
Oh, thank you. No, definitely. I think people just want cheering up at the minute and sort of listening to something really sort of, I guess, heavy or deep. Yeah. Is not what you really want right now. You just want to be cheered up, don't you?
Exactly.
Better reach for the stars, babe.
Oh, you know? We've got to get as many of these because you are all I need to get us through. There we are. I'll tell you what, there we are. Fabulous.
Bring it all back, yeah. Yeah.
This is it. Oh, gosh. Don't stop moving, team. I think S Club 7 girlies were pioneers for the jeans and a nice top movement.
Oh, yeah.
Are you still a jeans and a nice top kind of gal?
Well, I have kind of changed it up a little bit since then. Love clothes, love fashion, follow a bit of fashion, but put my kind of, what's it, stamp on it, you know.
Your teenerism on it.
My teenerism on it, yeah.
A little birdie told me that you're a fan of Footballers' Wives.
Yes, I am. Yeah. I'm total fan, yeah.
So this is basically a low-key Footballers Wives stan podcast because we talk about it on all of the things.
Brilliant.
And one thing I've been noticing whilst re-looking at some of the old episodes is that I think that, you know, obviously there's the glamour that comes with the girls and the wives and everything. But the boys had it particularly hard, I think, back in the noughties. Like, you know, and I'm thinking about the S Club boys as well, because it was either baggy jeans and trainers or it was big baggy suits and looking like you're dressing like an estate agent next to the girls who were like having fun. So, I mean, noughties fashion was quite something, right?
Oh, definitely. Funny enough, Bradley, who I'm sort of touring around with at the minute, he always says, oh, there's nothing for guys, you know, to wear. He's always complaining about that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, true. Yeah, it is true. But some guys make it work. I mean, Bradley could be like Harry Styles if he wants, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Put a bit of something, I don't know.
Do you do a lot of nostalgia nights and things like that and throwback evenings and festivals, yeah?
Yes, yeah. We've been doing loads of festivals lately because obviously it's all been outdoors and that's been amazing. It's huge crowds and it's all like 90s bands. And so we get to see everyone like from back in the day. So it's been so much fun. And at the minute we're doing freshers, which has really been interesting because they're 18 years old, just like their first kind of going out, I suppose, because they've all been locked down for so long. Uh-huh. And and they're just like absolutely like, you know, going crazy and know all the words. So I don't know how that happened, but it's amazing.
I think it's because back in the day, you know, there used to be those kids albums, didn't they? And it was all like, I mean, I used to work for a holiday park years thing, like maybe called Pontins. Other holiday parks are available.
Pontins. Okay, amazing.
And, and we, you know, back in the day, we were entertaining children, you know, to and they were all dancing to your records. And I'm imagining now that they're probably 18, 20, probably a little bit older maybe. So I think that there's that, it's been ingrained into them from a young age. So
they've been brainwashed. I love it.
I wasn't going to say brainwashed. I was going to say they've been inducted into the cult of S Club 7.
Yeah, this is true. Well, actually, I've got a five-year-old and he's like heard all the songs and everything. Yeah. And he loves it. It's kind of like just bops around. He knows all the words, bless him. It's hilarious, yeah.
Let's go back to like the right at the beginning of S Club. Did you know it was going to be you know, that genre of music, feel good pop, unapologetic pop. It literally was. It was candy pop and then some. Did you know that you were getting into that from the beginning, or did you think that, you know, we might try this first song and then go a bit Coldplay or something?
Yeah. Well, weird enough, when I joined, I mean, it was very sort of clear that it was going to be a pop band, and the music was going to be cheesy, I guess. As the years went by, we were kind of thinking, oh, maybe we could do something a little bit more sort of,
edgy.
Edgy. And the record company wasn't having any of it. They were like, oh, no. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I mean, but weirdly enough, looking back, I appreciate the song so much more. I think when you're younger, you're sort of like desperate to do something edgy and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But looking back now, I'm like, oh my God, you know, it's really good music. You know, the tracks are huge. Yeah.
We went to see Steps recently, and one of the things that we said, they were throwaway pop back in the day. But when you revisit them 20 years down the line, it's like you could totally have a musical with your songs. There's a narrative. Oh, yeah. You could have. I mean, I don't know what it would be, but or anything. Let's hope it's not like the Spice Girls musical, because that is one of the failings, I think, of modern times, is that they couldn't get the Spice Girls musical quite right. So let's keep our fingers crossed for an S Club 7 musical.
Yeah, it could be called Reach, maybe.
Is this you asking me to collaborate with you now? Is this what this is? Is this the birth of the S Club musical?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
it could be called Reach.
Yeah.
Who would you have to play you in the musical, or would you play yourself? I mean, you could play yourself.
Oh, I think it'd be interesting for someone else to play us, maybe, and we can kind of sit back and relax.
Yeah, sit back, relax, have a couple of wines in the auditorium.
Yeah. Yeah. and go ka-ching. Yeah, no. Okay, I'm gonna go a bit Hollywood here. I think Selena Gomez could be quite good.
Yeah,
She's got a vibe going.
She's got a vibe.
Sings, dance, yeah.
So we've written it, we've cast it, we've given it a title. All we need now is a producer. I mean, there's been nothing fun in the West End for a while, so I think that there's definitely a gap in the market for Reach, the S Club musical.
So I'm going to put it out there. Android Webber, call me.
Do you know what I loved about your era of celebrity? I think working with the management team that you had and everything, were right on the back of the whole Spice Girls thing, was all of the endorsements and the things like that.
Yeah.
And there was the product placements and all like that. Can you remember some of the things that you endorsed from back in the day?
Oh, there was loads. So there was Pepsi, which was like huge for us. And then Sunny Delight, and we called it Sunny D in the ad. So there was that one. Cadbury's, we did BT phones.
Do you remember what your S Club doll looks like? Have you got an S Club doll?
Yeah. My mum has it. Barbie doll with black hair, really. Yeah. So yeah. But the dolls were like, we were like, oh wow, we've got our own doll. That's huge. So we were really chuffed about that.
Because they always come with like a random accessory, don't they? When it's like a mic pack and did you have a head mic with yours, or
I had two outfits and a ghetto blaster. So I was cool at that, like an 80s ghetto blaster. Maybe they thought I'd be doing some break dancing or something, maybe.
It's for you to have the ghetto blaster so that whenever Tina rocks up to do her dance, as we stand corrected, she can just do it on demand anywhere. Did you used to choreograph quite a lot of the bits, or were you involved in the dance side of it a little bit more than the others?
I was, yeah. So I've come from, when I joined, I came from a big dance background. I was sort of doing basically like a jobbing dancer, commercial dancer sort of thing. And I've sort of trained in ballet, tap, modern, all that. Went to dance school, arts ed. I co-choreographed Bring It All Back. I really, really enjoyed it. And I would have loved to have done more, but because we were constantly everywhere and the workload was crazy, in the end, they just said, look, we'll bring in choreographer.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, being in a band with seven members. I mean, just from my days back in the day, some people are better dancers than others, aren't they? So you probably patience would have been stretched if you were doing that on the road and being a band member as well.
And I think when you're like peers, so we were all like literally the same level, they'd probably be like, oh, we don't like that. So with a choreographer, it's easier. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, fair enough.
all of these sort of reunion shows and sort of revisiting and nostalgia shows, which are amazing. And you get to see people from back in the day who are back on the circuit. Who are your like sort of pop star pals from back in the day that you like, hey, you know, or you meet up a thing, who, you know, give us the names of the group. So we're talking Five. Are you friends with Five? Atomic Kitten, Blue, who all of these people? Name drop. Come on.
So like Five are lovely. Love Bewitched.
Yes.
Girls Bewitched. Absolutely lovely. And Liberty X. And Atomic Kitten too.
They've just announced that they're going on tour with Blue, I see.
And Steps, sorry. I talk to H a lot, actually. He's always
he's
like
fabulous.
Messaging me, and he's I love it. Like, he's such cutie. Yeah, yeah.
He's got great energy, isn't he? He's actually guest number one on our podcast. So he was brilliant. He's brilliant. And then
awesome,
it was so
yeah.
amazing to see him and the rest of the band up on stage at the O2 the other week. And
wow, yeah,
you know, it's just amazing. And I think just even as a fan of the music, it's just nostalgia really plucks at the heartstrings. You can remember what you were doing and sometimes who you were doing at the time that music was at.
Yeah.
On the 100 Mental Guide to Life, we ask our guests to crown somebody the right royal Hunness. Now,
okay.
The thing I love about Hun culture is that everybody can be a Hun. And everybody's got their different stars and their different people that they think could be a Hun. And it's almost like you can celebrate the megastars, you can celebrate the ordinary, you can celebrate anyone.
Yeah.
So every person who we've had on the 100 Mental Guide to Life gets to choose their almost like their total Hun, their ultimate Hun, and we call it their royal Hunness. So Tina, who would you like to induct into the Hun Hall, it's a lot of H's here, Hun Hall of Fame as your royal Hunness?
Loving it. You know what? This lady was inspiration to me as a when I was growing up as a kid, like just her sort of, what's the word? She's just fearless. And the fact that she's still doing stuff out there, it's got to be Madonna for me.
Madonna, ultimate Hun. And do you know what? She is unapologetic as well. So unapologetic.
I'm just like, even like most recent pictures of her, everyone's like, oh my God, like going nuts about it. And I'm just like, well, got to give it to her. I mean, wow, she doesn't care. And she's kind of fabulous, which I think, you know, for women, especially when women are older, we're expected to sort of dress up like, I guess, grannies or whatever, and you can't, you're too old for that. And she's kind of proving, well, actually, no, I can do what I like, you know, and it's great.
Looking at the media and everything like that, without going down, you know, spending too much time on this, they will continuously knock at her for, and she's not going to stop. And why should she?
Yeah.
And the thing that I love about it most is that, you know, the LGBTQIA plus community are here for it, and we're all kind of like loving it. It just seems to be this mainstream thing going, you know, Madonna, you need to stop. I love it. I'm the more the better, and I love the fact that she's now almost poking fun at it.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. It's so brilliant.
For people like watching her, like you've got no voice. I feel like she's breaking back down barriers for everybody.
Yeah,
to kind of, you know, be more confident and express themselves, you know, no matter what they look like.
There.
Especially.
So many lyric puns there. Fabulous. Well, that is amazing. Madonna or Mud Hunna. No, it's definitely only Madonna. We're not going to do a Hun pun with Madonna's name.
Or Hun Donna.
Hun Donna.
Yeah, maybe.
That's going to be my kebab shop if ever I open it up. So no, I don't want to give that one away to Madonna.
No, that's true. Yeah.
Madonna, congratulations. You are Tina from S Club, Royal Hunness this week, and you will be inducted into the Royal Hun Hall of Fame. And I hope you get to know that you've now got this title. Right, now, Tina, let's talk about your solo career, because I absolutely love your single Fire, and the video is quite something. So tell us about some backstage information from that back in the day.
Oh, thank you so much. We split up for a couple of years or whatever. Yeah. And I thought, you know what, I want to do something. I want to release a single. I'd been working with quite a few producers at the time, writing and all that. And I had this track. And which is Fire. And I was thinking, oh my God, I really want to release this one. It was like my favorite. And so I did it all myself. I got some friends involved and we did a video, and it sort of took on a life of its own. And then we put it out. And we didn't actually even put it out on iTunes. I just put out a video and it just sort of went sort of took on a life of its own. And it was great. So thank you. The industry can be so sort of, what's the word?
Savage.
They're so savage. And they can't, they just, and to be honest, I'm not even sure what they're looking for.
It feels like
real sort of too cool for school, or like these dinosaurs who are really out of touch. So it's nice to finally have people sort of speaking up and saying, no, we like this, and we like that, you know, and not being kind of scared. I think things that aren't supposedly seen as cool are somehow, it's changed.
Yeah. Absolutely.
People are embracing pop now more than ever. It's great.
Another bit of pop information that I love. You were originally in Mystique. Is this true?
This is true. Yeah.
This is true. And it was called Face to Face back then. So tell us about your experience with that. Was it the original? Was it with the lineup that we all know now?
It was myself, Alicia Dixon, Sabrina. And there was two other girls sort of were with us for a bit and then moved on. We didn't have a record deal or anything like that. We were just meeting up at Dance Attic in Fulham once a week, rehearsing, and we had a manager. So it was definitely, we knew we had something. And we all got on so well. So it was like sisters at the early stages, sort of writing and doing choreography and putting it all together. Obviously, we all sort of had jobs as well. I was a dancer, so I was doing sort of lots of TV and like here and there and theatre and stuff. And then so I was always auditioning for things, and I auditioned for S Club. Didn't think anything of it. And then I got the call saying, offering me a place. And because it was all ready to go, I just sort of thought, what do I do? It was literally like, you know, go off and do this thing where you're not really sure what it's going to be, but it's all kind of, you know, ready to go. Yeah. Or stay with the girls and kind of, you know, see it through. And I sort of picked S Club just for the pay packet, to be honest. but the girls, it was really hard. I had to really think about it because we were so involved. Like, the girls literally do everything, you know. It was not manufactured at all. But yeah, joined S Club, and yeah.
The rest is pop history.
The rest is pop history, yeah. Obviously, Alicia's sort of become huge, and she's absolutely lovely, and Sabrina's like so talented, so you know, it was really cool.
That's what I love about bands from back in the day. You know, you've just mentioned they were often at the development stage, you know.
Yeah.
And then there was a bit of cross-pollination, you know. Jenny Frost was in Precious, and then she was in Atomic Kitten, and then there was Heidi. Where was Heidi? Heidi was somewhere before she was in Sugar Babes as well, wasn't she? Where was Heidi?
Oh, wasn't she Atomic Kitten?
Yes, she was. All's well that ends well. Everybody found their place, and we got some amazing pop music out of it. Another feature we do here on The Fundamental Guide to Life, of course, we're all about live, love and laughing.
Yeah.
We ask all of our guests to express how they live, love and laugh through music.
Yeah.
By choosing tracks that express those emotions. So we all know that there ain't no party like an S Club party. So imagine that you're off on a night out. What track makes you live?
I have to say, Britney Spears' Toxic came on the other day, and I was just like, this track is unbelievable. Yeah, I'd say Toxic. It's like, you just cannot just sit there and just go, I'm not going to dance.
Do you go out dancing now, obviously, or is it because you're working a lot, or do you get to go out and hit the club?
Well, I have to say, I'm not clubbing as much as I used to, but because I'm sort of... I'm a mum now,
yep.
So performing and stuff, I guess, yep. is kind of a
you get your fix.
Yeah, you get your fix. So I'm kind of on stage with Brad and we're doing all the choreography and everything. That's like a night out for me now.
Yeah, of course. So the second one is love. So just imagine you're wearing those gorgeous fluffy coats from, do you know what I've got to tell you? I've just bought a big, huge coat out of practicality.
Yeah.
And I walk down the street at 7 o'clock in the morning on the way to the gym. The leaves are falling, the wind is blowing, and I'm not even going to lie to you. In my head, I'm very much there in the Never Had a Dream Come True setting, walking down the street in my big coat.
Gorgeous.
So, you know, yeah. There we are. It lives on. So imagine you're wearing those gorgeous fluffy coats from Never Had a Dream Come True.
Yeah.
Or you could be having a smooch with someone special. So what song either makes you love or puts you in the mood for love?
I'm thinking of like George Michael, Last Christmas. Although the lyrics aren't very... loving because it's about breaking up, isn't it? But it's smoochy, isn't it? You can do it like a slow dance to it. Like school disco slow
it
dance.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, do you remember at school discos when you'd have your hands on each other's shoulders and you're like
it was that awkward.
This is basically, I'm having a virtual slow dance at a non-existent school disco with Dina from S Club 7.
It's like zombies touching shoulders. It's not very strictly, is it?
Do you know what I remember? But actually, this is a genuine school disco slow dance for me. And it also involved big coats as well. Do you remember E17, Stay Another Day? That was
iconic. Yeah.
That was a slow dance for me at the Pont Newydd Primary School back in South Wales where I grew up. There we are. Finally, you had so much fun with your band members in S Club. So what song reminds you of a right laugh or something that makes you laugh? It could be a comedy song or something that you've had a laugh to, you know, live, love, laugh. What's your laugh track?
I remember that song. I don't know. I can't remember who the band was, but the Maya He, Maya Who, Maya Hello. I just remember me and my friend cracking up whenever that came on because it's just so silly.
I think the song is by a band called Ozone and I think it's called Dragon Ostinte or something like that. Maya He,
it's hysterical.
Definitely can go in a laugh one. And I'm pretty sure that they're wing walking or something, or they're on a plane. Like I have this real photographic memory of like the video.
The video is hilarious. And they're all kind of, I don't know.
I tell you what, those three tracks there are going to be put in the Hunsnet playlist.
Brilliant.
They will be owned by you in that playlist for the whole time.
Yes.
And they are Tina Barrett's Live, Love, Laugh tracks. So make sure you check those out. So thank you so much for that. Here on the Fundamental Guide to Life, we like to do something a little bit different to what other podcasts do, because what other podcasts do is they get people to send in their problems and get the guests to sort it out.
Okay.
But what we've been doing, to mix it up a bit, because we love nostalgia. Obviously, you've been in many a pop magazine back in the day.
Yeah.
And many teen magazine back in the day. Now, we know now, looking back years down the line, that they're all toxic, a lot of the girls' magazines and Ms. and More and everything like that. So what we're doing now is we're re-looking at some of the problems that were sent into problem pages back then.
Right.
But we're going to give them the hun advice, so we're gonna make it good and give them, you know, just imagine, you know, like drunk girl at a club toilet. We're gonna give them the best life, and
brilliant.
So we're gonna revisit this. Me and my mate both really want to be the main part in the school play. We auditioned together and I got it. I'm really worried because she's mad at me and she keeps telling her mum she's busy when I call. What should I do? I don't want this play to wreck our friendship, but I'm also dead chuffed that I got this lush part. Future Oscar winner, 10B. Tricky.
Well, I'd like to first off say congrats for winning the part. You obviously were better.
Yeah, showbiz is a tough world out there, isn't it, hun?
It's cutthroat, let me tell you. Anyway, maybe to sort of win back her friendship, I suppose, you could say, I really need your advice on how to do this role because you're so good. And I don't even know how I got it, and to sort of get her a little bit involved. I need your
bring
advice.
Her along on the experience. Yeah, that's
involve
really great advice.
Her. Yeah,
I think that's really good advice. Now, what I will say to you is that some of the Hunsnet followers don't take this quite as seriously as we just did there, Tina. So No, all of our guests are like really serious, and then we put this out to the Hunsnet followers, and they come, and some of them have come in with some really great advice. Some of them are just genuine piss takers.
Brilliant.
So here we go. So Vix Horton said, your mate is a snake. Haters gonna hate. I think that's quite, I think that's quite strong advice, you know, but you know, you've got to stand your ground there. We might actually get this bit of advice painted on a bit of driftwood for our bathroom. It says, chin up, tits out, go and learn your lines. And that was Helen Cotton Ward.
I'm going to get that on a t-shirt. Love it. Yeah.
In fact, you know that decal that we said I was going to get earlier on? I'm going to change that. I'm going to have in my kitchen, chin up. What was it? Chin up, tits out, go and learn your lines. Fabulous.
Brilliant.
Cheatley 1984 has got some sage advice saying, you do you, hun. Tell us she can do your makeup. Every star needs staff.
I like that one. Brilliant. Yeah.
And then finally, Lady Kingston said, I don't know if you've heard of this saying, but there's clearly an elephant in the room with the friendship. She should be pleased for you. Bitter old cow. I mean, I think she's a teenager, so I don't think she's that old. And that's from Lady Kingston. Well, I actually think that we gave the best advice there. Now, Tina, before we go, there's two questions that I've been thinking in my head. I really want to ask Tina these questions, but I'm sure Tina gets asked these questions all the time. But I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to ask these questions. First of all, is there an S Club 7 WhatsApp group?
There is, yeah. But it hasn't been used for a while. So we had one when we did the reunion, 2015 reunion.
There is one. It's just down the list at the moment. And which leads me on nicely, when I'm pretty sure that you get asked this all the time, but, you know, we're pop fans, we're gagging for it. Is there going to be any reunion soon with all of the members? I know that you sort of have your different makeups and stuff, but all of the members, is there a big anniversary coming up maybe?
I have to say some of the members are up for it. Like I can actually say who. I know Rachel wants to do it. Hannah wants to do it. So and I think you know, I definitely love to do it. So it's and Brad, but obviously we need all seven. So we're just going to kind of see what happens really. But, you know, I think more than half are up for it. You never know.
Well, you never know. And the thing is, you know, if the last couple of years has taught us anything is, you know, things can sort of happen out of the blue that can make us change, pivot, so to speak. See what I did there, dance? Pivot.
Yeah, I love that.
Me and the rest of pop music lovers globally are gagging for this reunion. When is this? Is it 20 years?
It's 21 years.
So I tell you what, even if we've got to wait until 25, that gives us well, first of all, fire up that WhatsApp group now.
Yeah.
And then put the groundwork in. And then maybe we'll get that reunion in a few years' time.
And especially Steps. Steps always do theirs first and then we do ours after. So, you know, Steps have done theirs first again. So maybe. It's looking good.
So Tina, we've spoken about S Club. So what? Obviously you've got lots more gigs coming up with S Club. What else is going on in the world of Tina Barrett before this reunion that we all know that we need and love?
As I said before, me and Brad are actually touring as a two, and and we're also doing a few special shows with Stacey from S Club Juniors.
I saw this, yes.
Yes, yeah. So that's really nice. She's doing a couple of shows with us, so it's really fun, yeah.
I love the fact that you can just tap into this S Club dynasty.
I know. We've got the juniors, we've got the S Club 7, and it's like, yeah, there's so many of us out there. We're like multiplying.
Exactly, taking over the world. Tina, thank you so much for joining me today on The Fundamental Guide to Life. We at HunsNet love S Club 7. We love the nostalgia. We love all the stuff that you're doing. We're keeping our fingers crossed for that reunion. Thank you so much for coming on. Have a great 2022. We look forward to seeing you on stage soon.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
That's it from The Fundamental Guide to Life. This episode, don't forget, you can get your fix of our Gorgina picks and more tracks to pop your pussy to with some Prosexy. So follow the HunsNet profile on Spotify, where we'll dump all of the songs. And of course, don't forget to subscribe and follow this podcast. Oh yeah, and rate and review 5 stars. Thank you.
Insanity Group.
If you love HunsNet and you love brunch and you've not checked out HunsNet's Hun Brunch, then you're missing out, honey. Join us at least once a month in London and up and down the country for drag dallins, gorgy cocky teas, competitions, prizes, exclusive merch giveaways, and wall-to-wall Huns. So whether it's a birthday celebration, hen party, girly catch-up, or actually
for any reason whatsoever, get on the Nokia 3310 to the girly whirlies and get yourselves to Hun Brunch immediately, if not sooner. Tickets exclusively available on Dice.